Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Ingo Rademacher is the new Thorin Forrester on Bold and the Beautiful. There's a double wedding on Days. The man in the muzzled mask escapes on General Hospital. And Jack versus Billy on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Well, how do, Luke Kerr?
Pretty good. A little bit of Southern Texas coming in through there. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
And Mike Jubinville, you're back.
I'm back.
Welcome back. It's been a while.
Yes, a couple
welcome
weeks.
Welcome back to the themes. I forget that theme song.
Welcome blah, back, Cotter.
I can sing it for you. Welcome blah, back, blah, Cotter. Blah, I'm old blah, enough blah, to remember blah, blah. Watching it.
See, I only saw it in reruns because I was born in the late 70s.
Well, I was born in the 80s and I never saw it. So, yeah.
Whatever, whatevs. Stop what? Trying to make fetch happen, Jillian.
Make what happen?
Fetch.
Mean Girls, Mean Girls, people. Have you not seen Mean Girls?
No, I haven't. I actually
oh my
haven't.
God.
Oh, you have to watch Mean Girls.
Okay, simmer down.
Oh my God. I cannot with you people
well,
today.
You can today.
It's like that generation's generation's Clueless, so it's kind of like it's something you should watch. It's kind
or
of
maybe
funny.
It's Mike's but, Pretty in Pink.
No.
No,
maybe.
It's Mike's American. It's Mike's American Graffiti.
Oh, nice.
Grease? Grease?
Oh, that is not
fair. I love you, Mike.
For people who don't know, you know, friends of the podcast, Damien at TV Insider, he is the inspiration for Damien and Mean Girls. So there you go.
Nice.
Nice little trivia. In case it ever comes up in a game.
It's Mike's Rebel Without a Cause.
Stop.
How far back do you want to go?
It's Mike's Gone with the Wind.
I was waiting for that.
That is not in the teen movie genre, Lucas. So you get a...
Listen, let's go and talk about something that on last week's podcast, there was news... Windsor Harmon had tweeted that he was not going to be Thorin Forrester anymore. And
it
last week,
whose has it stone?
Last week we pointed out that we weren't sure what to think of that because
no. Y'all pointed that out.
No, I'm just saying it was discussed on the podcast.
No, you and I were like, oh, that's just Windsor tweeting foolishness.
No, I'm saying
Jillian was like. No, there's where there's smoke, there's fire. We have to give her credit. You and I both were like...
What I said last week was it had happened before where it was a cry wolf type situation. But I will agree. I will agree. Jillian was more on...
He's standing in the flames by myself.
Yes, yeah, he's doing you.
Listen, I am Khaleesi. I get out of those flames.
He's putting the right rabbit away from me like it was just Jamie. It was just Jamie. I'll own it.
But...
Probably yeah. Charleston his way right out of that.
Windsor did know what he was talking about, you know, and he lost his job to an Australian,
Eric are from
Chicago and Los Angeles. So now we have what is Torsten? What is he Scottish or?
I thought Australian. He's not Australian, is he?
German.
No, he's not. He's not.
European. Can we say European?
There you go.
We have a German Ridge, and we now have an Australian Thorn. So maybe Felicia will come back from Budapest. I don't know.
And in case you missed the beginning of the podcast, Ingo Rademacher is now in the role. People loved him as Jax on General Hospital. Are you guys looking forward to him? Mike, I'll let you take the first stab since you weren't here last week. Are you looking forward to him in the role?
I have no idea what they have planned for and by the way, Torsten K is German. Just thought we'd get that out
I
there.
I just said that.
I know. I just had to look it up though because I didn't know.
So we're Millie and Vanilli.
I really don't have a feeling either way about this. I'm really surprised that they got that Windsor Harmon was willing to come back and he was completely overlooked. I'm a little curious as to the direction that they're going to go. And I hope they utilize the character, because B&B has this great habit of bringing people on and they're gung-ho for a while and then they disappear. And is there a contract involved here?
Yeah. You would think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, this is a contract role. He okay. was supposed so to come, he'll, according he'll to get Michael his... Logan's interview, he was supposed to, like, Brad thought he should come on as, like, a groundskeeper or something. I guess that role that they're doing, because
with
somebody...
With the Jane the Virgin dude.
Yeah, the yeah. Jane the Virgin dude is coming on to... Because Nurse Sheila is going to try to get him to penetrate Quinn so that she can have Pappy Smurf back. And so I guess Brad... first considered Ingo for that role, and you know, I'm like, really? That Quinn has never been ho-ish, first of all. It has never been, other than her whips and chains make you melt.
Quinn is loyal to her, you know, men.
Yup. It's like she's usually pretty monogamous, you know, save for the kissy kissy hus. I mean, and the whole thing with Ridge was basically like fifth graders, you know, kissing and playing doctor. It was never that big of an affair. So now that it's like she's some woman who's so easily tempted. Anyway, he was supposed to be that cat, and then he was like, no, I'm gonna make him Thord. You know, that's one thing you gotta give Brad. There is no collection of people who make these type of decisions where if it's Y&R, you have to scratch your head and go, is it Mal that made this decision? Is it Angelica who suggested this? Is it Steve Kent? Is it this one? Is it that one? Is it the other? On GH, you have to go, is it Frank? Is it Varney? Is it the writers? But the buck stops with Brad, so this is all Brad's idea and Brad's doing that he decided, I know. Let's make an Australian our new Thorn and get rid of the Thorn that's been
there. I think the bigger impact, though, is going to be on General Hospital, because a lot of people liked him and a lot of people liked him with Carly. So I think the bigger impact is there.
But, you know, someone tweeted me in the industry about this, too, like, wow, isn't this a blow to GH? But you can't steal what people don't want. I think Ingo would have gone back to GH 1,000 times over, but Frank has never really wanted him there full time. He'll bring him back for those little drive-bys and those little guest spots. But why, if you were someone as big as Ingo was on that show, why would you be content with, you know, and this isn't like, you know, and I don't want to sound ageist here, but I know that a lot of, you know, the vets in their 70s, you know, 60s and 70s, that's how, you know, they end up, you know, the ones who were the big stars from the, you know, the 70s and 80s kind of come back and do guest spots and things like that. But Ingo's not in that age range yet. He's still super viable. He's still popular. And, you know, but if all you're offering up is some drive-by guest spots and come back so Sonny can deport you, what is the incentive of holding out for a real job when obviously GH is more invested in Valentine and Nina than they are Brenda and Jax?
Jillian, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I was a little stunned that he was coming into that role. I would never have guessed he was going to be Thorn. I was like, wow, they're like, I still am going to give him a month to see if he gels with the show, because I'm still like, this is still jarring for them to bring him on in that role. There's so many other roles he could have played, they could have created for him. It just makes me wonder, what was it that Brad was like, I can't deal with Windsor, I'm gotta go with this guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me.
Mike, what do you think of Bill and Steffi versus Liam?
It's kind of funny. I liked them the first time around, and we've talked about how that dynamic has been ignored. But when I was watching them this week, I had felt nothing. I felt no spark, no chemistry, no. There was something missing in the whole thing, and I like the idea of Bill and Liam kind of fighting for Spencer, but I don't see. It's a show that's all talk and not a lot of action. So I would imagine they'll talk about this for a while. And then something, I don't know, Liam will leave his phone somewhere and Wyatt will pick it up. And then without the evidence, Bill can just come back in and take over Spencer. It's just kind of very loosely put together, and it could be something that impacts the show for a long time, for years. This
didn't
adversarial
Liam say
relationship.
He,
so
didn't
no,
Liam
I don't
say
feel
he?
It.
Okay, didn't Liam say yeah. that he emailed the thing to himself? So I mean,
I suppose so, but you know,
yeah. Or
I just,
they could also say it's an iPhone and he has it in the cloud. So, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I like it. I do wonder if Bill is playing Steffi though. Like
I do too.
When I say that, I mean like, you know, these little smirks that he does that when she's not looking, I'm like, I wonder if he's pulling a Katie on her. And when I mean that, I mean like when he was with Brooke and Katie had those papers against Bill and Bill was like, okay, I'm going to go back to you. And then he tricked Katie into signing those papers and was like, bitch, I was only using you to get my company and shit back. That like, I wonder if Bill's doing that with Steffi to be like, screw with her to screw with Liam. So,
Jamie, how's it playing out for you?
So I'm just going to be brief with, you know, well, I want to start with more on Ingo and then I'll go into that question. So the Ingo thing for me, I don't want to see this be another situation where Brad has 6 months worth of something to do with this cat and then he has nothing to do with him. And then it's
that's
just
crap.
We've filled this canvas with, you know, I mean, Maya and Rick have nothing to do on the canvas right now. I feel like we're going to get some attempt to do a Thorn Ridge Brook triangle. I really hope not, because Brad needs to take a page from his father concerning the Elder Foresters. And this is something most people might not want to hear, but I'm just going to go here. Because when you read in the history books about the Brook situation after the show went from 30 minutes to an hour and a lot of the originals left, Brad made the decision that it was time to say, hey, let's vote.
Well, you mean Bill?
No, yeah. Okay, so yeah, sorry. Bill made the decision to focus on creating the Abbots and fleshing out Victor Newman. And I kind of feel like that's where we need to be. We need to look at this canvas and say who actually works and who pops on screen, as opposed to do they play OG Foresters? Because Bill Spencer pops on screen. Bill versus Liam is an awesome story. I want more of that. Rick and Maya, for me, pop on screen. I'm enjoying the setup of Liam, Sally, and Stephanie with, you know, Steffi also, you know, being drawn back into Bill's orbit. I'm loving Katie and Wyatt. Shout out to Jillian because she called that first. I didn't think I would. But there are so many things that pop already on this show. And then there are things that don't pop. And I'm just going to be real about this. Brooke and Ridge no longer pop. They don't snack. They don't crackle. And they don't pop. No more. They have not snapped. They have not crackled. And they have not popped since Ron Moss left that show. He is on the bay. I would rather have Ron Moss back in this role if we're going to do a Brooke and Ridge redux. And if we were going to
come on
Ridge Thorn triangle, I would rather it be Windsor. This is why this is annoying to me. Now, yes, and people are being very quick to cloak this as something that's not that big of a deal because there have been four Thorns. Yes, there have been four Thorns, I guess. Clayton, the one with the weird hair.
Jeff Tractor.
Yeah, Windsor. But I'm sorry, Windsor has played the role since 1996. That's the year after I graduated freaking high school. That's 20-something years. We don't need a new Thorn when the old Thorn is right there ready to come back. And he had smoking hot chemistry with Catherine Kelly Lang. I don't understand why you would do this. You can't use flashbacks. So what's going to happen, since B&B is so flashback heavy? And let me tell you why soap fans like flashbacks. Because they give us the feels to that time in our life. I'm not going to get any feels when Brooke runs into Thorn at some silly fountain 40 times, and it's going to be shown to me for the next 6 months. Every freaking time Brooke farts, she's going to flash back to seeing Jasper Jax, whatever his name is, at this freaking
fountain.
And she's going to be like, and then she's going to have those same faux flashbacks to Ridge, who's only Mac. Ridge is not an OG. He is not a Mac. His only game is I want to take you and show you to, I want to show you my mother's headstone. Ooh, I'm wet thinking about dead Steffi. Stephanie, who cares? Your mother hated Brooke for 29 years, and then she liked her for one. That is not how you romance a woman back. My mother wanted us to be together, and so does our nerdy, inappropriately obsessed with our sex life son. Who cares? Who cares? This is not a romance. Catherine Kelly Lang and Don Diamond have smoking chemistry, having her have this insane reaction to him burning down that building.
When she said to him,
I mean, it's like, who cares?
When she said to him, oh, are you going to hit me too? I'm like, okay, now you.
That was overplay for the underplay, which Brad always does this. It's like, I want to set up a new plot-driven, you know, entanglement, so I just have to have the most extreme reaction ever. Why is Brooke reacting this way? Yes, she should be upset that he's doing this, but to leave her marriage and then immediately be drawn back to Ridge, she's almost 60! I want to see this woman get some gravitas about her and be the woman that I fell in love with who stole Forrester Creations, who doesn't just flit and flip from one dude to another every 3 months because they betray her trust.
I want her to go after Liam and get him to be sneaky about it and get him to understand.
I want Brad, because this is the thing. When there isn't...
I didn't mind her getting upset over that, because I felt as though she got upset. If they had said this part, and this is what drove me crazy, if she had said, Bill, you know, Sally could have died. Oh my God, my son could have died because he always hangs out over there with her torpy sister.
The other option is to immediately be drawn back to Ridge, who once raped her when she was on medication. Come on. It seems silly. And this, you know, I don't like this, like, just, you know, it's like if you're playing, Brad wants to play checkers instead of chess. Pop, 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 check, check. You know, it's like, you don't just move the characters that fast because you've got a new wild hair and you're trying to reset the canvas. Once again, it's like whiplash. And I don't see the need for, you know, Brooke to just be this reactionary about this. She's been with men who have done more unspeakable things in the past, and she didn't. I mean, the woman screwed her own daughter's husband, and y'all know I love her.
Twice.
But she did that for months without any real, you know, she had some guilt. She had guilt, but it wasn't enough guilt to keep her off the peen. But, you know, she just met Sally Spectra, and she's like, I can't be married to you anymore. It's just over the top to just set up some new triangle, and I don't get the need for it, except that Brad just gets bored with whatever he's doing and then tries to immediately shift. I feel it's different with Liam being drawn to Sally. That is being played organically. I do believe that granola chewing Liam would be drawn to this plucky self-starter.
Liam, we have also seen, sorry, I didn't cut you off, but we've also seen that Liam has a hero complex. He's right. Coming in there and saving that girl, if you look at it.
You're really good. Wyatt and Katie, Liam and Sally. Those, but the Brooke stuff, which for me, Brooke is the bold and the beautiful. When I think of, you know, that one character that defines a show for you, mm-hmm. Erica Jane was All My Children. You know, Victor Newman is The Young and the Restless. I just don't feel that Brooke Logan has been utilized well in a very long time. Brad writes her as this crying, weird, drinking, silly sex pervert, not the woman who enjoyed sex and used sex. She went from Samantha Jones to, you know, Pee Wee Herman in a freaking adult bookstore playing with herself and crying about it. I'm sorry! I can't control my urges anymore! I mean, that's not the Brooke Logan that I fell in love with on this show, and I keep wanting to see her again and hoping against hope that, you know, for the future, that she can go back to being that Brooke. But she just breaks up with dudes every 2 or 3 months. She managed to have a career for a long time in the midst of that. And, you know, I don't care about that little Alex P. Keaton son of hers. He needs to be recast. You know, we have gotten into an era of this genre where I get that everybody wants to play the veterans, and Lord knows the magazines promote that, and that's all well and good, and that's great. But if you look at All My Children in the 80s, yes, Erica Kane was always DaBomb.com, but young adults put that show on the map. Tad, Jenny, Greg,
Haley,
Jesse, and Angie. This is who we now have as young adults in daytime. That weird little boy of Brook and Ridges. I'm going to go text and drive.
I can't deal with this.
Go to General Hospital, and it's that fucking ass Jocelyn who she can't feel that little boy's boner because she's talking about what's going on with the adults. Oh my God, my mom, my Uncle Jason was ran over and can I put my tongue down your throat? I mean, that's what the little boy should scream out. Jagger was trying to get some poo nanny from Brenda, at least back in the day, and was, you know, also lusting after Karen. These teenagers and young adults on these shows are the pit. It's like they don't even try. We're going to text and drive. I'm sorry. I want my mom and dad back together. Who cares? Go away, little boy. You are the worst. You're the worst. You are no Jennifer Finnegan. You are no little young Jacob Young. And it's not the little boy's fault because they don't write for him. But is anybody trying to find the next Jacob Young or the next Antonio Sabato Jr. at that age or the next Vanessa Marcel? No, we don't even try to cast teenagers. That little talking ass Jocelyn makes me want to dig my eyeballs out. Oh my God, Uncle Sonny, I have to give you a monologue, cute boy that I really like, and I should let you give me a hickey, but instead we're going to have a really wordy conversation about Uncle Sonny being a mobster and how, you know, my mom and I don't get along right now because she wants to get back with Uncle Sonny and Michael, and shut up and dry hump that little boy or do something teenagers do. Go do some Molly. Go read the newspapers and find out what these young people are into. They're Snapchatting their little boobies at each other and doing all these awful things that could get you into very soapy predicaments, but we're not. That little boy exists, back to the Bold and the Beautiful, to talk about how much his stupid parents should get back together. And he's not your father, little boy. I'm sorry to be Maury Povich, but he is not the father. Ron Moss is your father. And I don't want to talk about Torsten K coming in there dressed like Death of a Salesman trying to romance my Brooke Logan again with, you know, Mom always wanted us to be together. I'm over it. Who cares? Send Ridge to Forrester Global, International, or whatever. Or here's the deal, Brad. If you can manage, after your wife was Barack Obama's biggest bundler, to make deals to bring back every conservative soap star in the land that dissed Barack Obama, you and Ron Moss can sit down over some cappuccinos and biscotti and figure it out so we can get the actual Ridge Forrester back. Let's make Soap America great again and bring back the real Ridge, and then I'll care. And bring and rescind Ingo's offer and bring back Windsor. Then
yeah.
I'll care.
That's or at least, or at the last minute, what he should do is just recast, you know, he should do a last minute reprieve and recast him, redo Ingo in a different role, like, you know, like that textile baron that I said he should be.
Yes.
Something, anything but Thorn.
We have 20 years of flashbacks with Windsor. So if he does get with Brooke, which is just my assumption, we can't show the incredible moments about, you know, the Forrester boys, you know, kind of arguing over Brooke and Taylor and Ridge teaming up to bust them up. Before, we can't show any of that because it won't track well. It won't, none of it, you know, that's the thing. When you have people in these roles, I don't mind recast if they're like every couple of years, you know, because that's the nature of the beast. But why recast someone who's been in the part for 21 years
and who's willing to work? Like, I don't, I'm just like, what went behind the scene for them to make that drastic decision? Like, I'm just so confused by that.
Mike, you weren't here last week, but we had a chance to talk about Days of Our Lives, the double wedding. This last week we had the bachelor and the bachelorette parties, and we got to see the two couples walk down the aisle. What did you think of the bachelor and bachelorette parties?
Oh, they were fun. I mean, the bachelorette party. Wait, the bachelorette party was not fun at all. It was like, it was not fun. It was kind of boring. But the bachelor party was fun. And I think I love that Steve put money in that guy's
underpants. Underpants.
And that Paul knew who the guy was. And it was fun. You know, there were so many fun. And I love that Andre tried to have like this highbrow thing by giving them all the, you know, ascots and having duck and playing bridge. I mean, there are some things.
Like, not for nothing, but if I get married, can I have Andre do my bachelor party? Just saying.
I just thought it was like.
Speaks a mouthful about. Went to a bar. I can't believe they're smoking cigarettes in here. I'm like, do you see all these people walking around? But cigarettes smoke kills. Okay, girl.
No, that's not what I say. I say it gives me bad migraines.
Oh, Lord.
Jamie, I saw you loving Steve slipping those dollar bills into the G-string.
Luke Kerr would like Andre to give him that shitty bachelor.
That's why I'm laughing. That is why I'm laughing.
But I guess I will never be able to corrupt you. You are who you are, my friend, and I appreciate that.
You know, Luke will talk. I told you, Luke likes some christenings and some weddings and some bachelor parties.
Jamie, what did you think?
Parties?
Yes, and the wedding.
I loved all of that. What I loved the most about it is how much it drove home these family units who have not felt like real families in a long time. You know, I have had a lot of issues with the Andre character because I've watched Andre maim and murder Salem for 30 years. So when they brought Teo back as Andre, I was like, if you're going to have to bring one of the characters back from the dead, why not Tony, who was always saner and more of like a classy bon vivant. Why would you? Because basically Andre Sane is Tony. So that's basically who he is right now. That's totally like some. Andre was a psychotic maniac. But I will say Ron has managed to make me, you know, give up all the history. Even, you know, the thing of it is, I can look past his history, but a lot of I can look past history when it's brought up. I know that sounds crazy, but the fact that Hattie talked about that recently, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, if we're addressing it, which, you know, that's the thing that usually drives me crazy about Brad, because if Brad, whatever agenda he's going with, he tries to act like things didn't happen. But I love that Ron is like, no, we're just going to address that this man is a serial killer and use it as a plot point that the Demera board is like, we can't really have you representing us at the investors conferences because you kind of killed a lot of people. So anyway.
Or even Hope saying why she couldn't be the new police commissioner because
she, they're all criminals. But, you know, I loved how the wedding really was a showcase for the Demeras with Andre and Kate, you know, leaning into their love and affection for Chad, which kind of unites them, and the moments between Jennifer and her children where they talked about my Jack.
I saw that you didn't. You had a discussion. I wouldn't say you got into it with someone about Jack versus Bo on Twitter.
Well, no.
Which of those
lot,
two
boy.
You'd prefer to have come back?
Well, I'm just gonna be realistic about it. Missy Reeves and Missy Reeves and Matt Ashford are friends. So it's Bo and Hope are my all time favorite super couple, but. Hey, I can't bring, you know, the UN would have to make that work because it's that Taylor Swift song, Bad Blood, but allegedly. But, you know, Missy and Matt are friends. They homeboys and homegirls. So that'd be an easier, you know, situation, I assume. And Jack and Jennifer are one of my all-time favorite couples. And I actually think, okay, Returns from the Dead are always ludicrous, but... And I don't mean the rapper, but the thing of it is with Bo, it would be extra crispy ludicrous because of, you know, how, you know, I mean, he died in that park. And, you know, but Jack, you know, there was that explosion in the elevator shaft. And Ron would be able to figure that out. He'd be able to figure both out because this is Ron. But, you know, Jack was investigating. My whole wishful storytelling has always been, if you remember, Jack was investigating or writing, you know, he wrote a book about his time in Afghanistan. So I would basically just say that Gabby didn't blow up Salem because she was lusting after Chad's bone. That was all a ruse. And, you know, the terrorist, you know, blew up Salem so that they could snatch Jack back to find out what he knew about, you know, what they were doing. And that Jack is somewhere in a Middle Eastern jail cell or in a hole. And, you know, that's how we get the challenge of the Super Friends together. Patch.
Yeah.
Donovan, John Black, and his fabulously gay Asian son, and they all go off and rescue Jack Devereaux and bring him back, and Jennifer can finally smile again, because Jennifer used to smile and laugh, and, you know, yes, she used to be really persnickety because Jack would get on her nerves, but I just feel like Missy Reeves has not had much of a life except for that little brief moment with Eric. But, you know, I loved the family moments, even with everybody, you know, the people who are missing, the Demeras, the Horton Devereaux, the Kiriakises, you know, when Sonny tells Victor about him being the glue for the family and they did the Greek shaving, you know, it just felt like all of these touches were added to really show, you know, the families, John and Marlena, with Paul, and then flashing back to one of their weddings. Now, mm-hmm. I would have preferred it would be flashing back to the wedding where my Deirdre Hall had that sparkly sequin peacock on her head.
I remember.
But, you know, I was okay with it being a more modern John and Marlena wedding. And, you know, Doug and Julie at Doug's
place. Speaking of them, I wanted to ask you, what did you think of Doug's place in the dance and everything this week?
I wanted to cry. I was like, Doug's place is back. I'm like, I don't want to hear Chloe up there warbling, though. It ain't but one. After Doug, it ain't but one performer I want to hear. And that is Miss Gloria Lauren singing Friends and Lovers as Liz Chandler. That's what I want. What would you think
of? Jillian,
what did you think of the double weddings and bachelor and bachelorette party?
Sing Friends and Lovers with is dead. So who she. Now, that's kind of nasty, but I would say she needs to get her son, Robin Thicke. But
I'm shutting you down.
Now, she should sing it with Eric, Brady. Brady sings, you know, get Brady up there. What would you think if... But you have to bring Shane and Cam back for that, because that's their song. Shane and Cam have to be there.
Oh, my God, but no, you know
what? Jillian, what did you think?
I'm not a big christening, wedding, bachelor fan like you are, but what did make me laugh was when Victor told Justin, he was like, Adrian has been trying to show me her melons and her buns. And he was like, melons? You have heartburn. He was like, melons give you heartburn. So did Adrian. She tried to throw herself at me. He was like, I don't want nothing to do with her. I screamed. Judy Evans is having a damn ball in that role. Oh my God. It was funny. It was funny as hell. And for her to try to keep it together. She's like, yeah, our son, Jackson Sonny. Yeah, Jackson Sonny. Oh, you picked up. And no
she
one catches
on. His given name.
Yes. I'm like, and no one catches on. Everybody be like, why are you calling him that? You know, somebody would have caught on. I do love her and Sheila's dynamic. When she was like, I love T-Mars and Sheila. Mm-hmm. But she was like, you got that young hunk who is crazy for you, and you want to saddle up next to Methuselah. Ugh, you nasty. I was screaming. That one had me rolling. She was like, why you don't go out that young buck? And like, you see that Sheila, for some reason, she got that dude shook. Going on between you and Eli. What's your history there?
You know what it is. He got that red light. Special. all through the night.
Now, is that something I'm going to be able to use for an episode title?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Just red lights. He wasn't too proud to beg. Hey!
Oh, it's
he
a
needed
DLC
it in the morning and the middle of the night.
Yes. And they creep.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he creeps so he creeps on Gabby with her. Keep it on the down low since nobody is supposed to know.
Am I the only one who actually expected Will to be at the door when Doug and Julie came through?
Yes.
Oh.
I knew it was Ben.
I was like, I need...
I knew it was him, too.
I never thought it was going to be Will.
I thought it might be Will, Luke. So, look, we're on the same page for what. But, you know, they got to do Ben first. I thought... See, Ron is zigging where I thought he would zag. I thought Ron, when I first learned, you know, because they've been spoiling the heck out of Days, unfortunately. That because these, you know, these... actors have been tweeting set pictures and stuff. So when I first saw that they were going to do a double wedding, I thought, okay, Ron had Robin Scorpio show up at Patrick's wedding to Dora. So I'm
Sabrina.
Sabrina. So I was like, what?
Dora.
We'll go show up too and be like, not today, Satan. That's my man. And you finna marry my whole sonny. I hold with Paul. Now you going to marry. But Will didn't do that.
I love that it was Ooh, that Julie been... first. Lots of red herrings.
Yeah. No, it would have been cool if it was Sammy and Will that came through that door. And Sammy would be like, my son ain't even dead good yet. You married
him. See, Sammy, spoiler alert, Sammy is going to come to town not believing it's true. And she's going to raise whole hell. But can we be shallow for a minute? That Robert,
this is DC. Why wouldn't we be showing?
Wilson is living his best life. That is a beautiful human being. I mean to tell you, I don't know why some primetime development, executive. I'm not even trying to wishful cast him. Somebody was like, wouldn't he be a good Thomas for Bold? Why? Why? So Brad can play him for 3 months and then not play him for 7. I'm tired of that. I ain't wishful casting until Brad do right by his current cast. And I'm putting my hands up like Seedley. I'm not doing no more wishful castings for that show because he don't write for him for more than 3 months. And then he's like, bored! And I want a new toy. But Robert Scott Wilson is like sex on a stick. He needs to be, somebody needs to be developing a primetime 50 Shades of Grey type show, preferably on cable so we can see giblets and gravy. And he star of it. He needs to be on HBO as some nasty corporate raider type.
You really need to get him on Stars. You'll see more giblets and gravy if he's on Stars.
I watch, look, there's this show called Power, and I be seeing all the black giblets and the gravies and the chicken wings and everything.
Yeah, we didn't need... Sidebar, we didn't need to see 50 Cent on. Could have had a VH
I'm talking about Mari and, that one, that Mexican one. Not in he wasn't Mexican, he was Cuban. The one who was their henchman who died, boy, when he was messing with that Asian hooker, he would be just like, Yeah, y'all need, that's my endorsement. You need to watch Power because there's a lot.
This shallow moment brought to you by Giblets and Gravy. Mike, what did you think of Ava and the Man in the Muzzled Mask on General Hospital?
The Man in the Mask. What the? I'm so done with that show. I'm just, ugh. Go ahead, Mike. Oh, my God, Mike.
Okay, here's the only thing I'm going to say. I have not really been very supportive of this bring Steve Burton back and make up 15 stories about Jason that never existed. But I got to tell you, I really love watching Maura West because she has chemistry with Steve Burton. And
can I have Ava and Jason together?
What are you talking about, right?
But that's the thing. That's the beauty of anything that will make Carson's head explode. I'm all for it. So if Ava and Jason goes back and she brings them back and he starts defending her, that's some good conflict, but
that's good.
I
enjoy them too, Mike.
General Hospital for me is something that I watch last, and I don't watch it every day. But when I watch those two together, that's the only thing that I have any interest in, is because Maura West.
See who you talking about, right? You talking about Maura to the to the dub. That's more
she has chemistry with the guy she's talking to who's not
that,
talking back.
You know what? That scene utilized both of their best talents.
His eyes and her acting.
And her incredible acting ability. You know, we got, you know, Patient Six is acting very much like a superhero we once knew and loved. Because when Dr. Feelbad was like, "You gave him a pin! You gave him a pin!" And the next thing, what's so funny about the scene? This is, you know, this is where I miss Bob Guza and some people who kind of, okay, so the whole thing was you gave him a pin. Now he's gonna be able to be like La Femme Nikita or Tomb Raider with this pin. Did y'all notice he didn't do nothing with the pin? He just got up and started whooping ass. You could have got up and started whooping ass without the bick, Patient Six. You didn't need the bick to start people up with your fist.
But hold up, though. My only gripe about this is, you know, Ava just sees his eyes and she hears his voice. Ho, you don't hear that? You don't remember that voice? That voice don't sound familiar to you?
I love that this guy is, this patient is so dangerous.
I thought when Ava hit town, Steve was already gone. Like, because she ran over him when he was trying to come. She ran over somebody that we've assumed
she ran over. Yes, and then it was
George. I thought she didn't know him as that other Jason. I don't know, but because he was trying to get back from Crichton Clark with Robin, with little Robin Scorpio, and then Robin was like, "Let's split up," which you never say that in a horror movie or on a soap opera. No, little Robin Scorpio, your ass is 5 foot and you a neurosurgeon. Why are you gonna leave the assassin? Yeah, I'm staying with the assassin.
I just love that this guy, this patient's so dangerous, but he's just sitting in the hallways by himself with nobody around to guard anybody.
Why is he at a plastic surgery clinic? Or is that clinic for other stuff? Some of those like peripheral characters that they bring on, you know, they have really gone down. And like, I don't like seeing day players get to call Mara West a bitch. You know, I mean, that type of stuff. It's like, it's bad enough that Sonny gets to call her all kind of bitches and hoes. But now we got this day player doctor getting to call. I'm like, why don't
I'm going to make one other comment about.
And I'm just going to loop around. I'm going to loop around real quick. Steve Burton left in October of 2012. And she premiered in 2013.
So she
in
never
May.
Saw
okay. All right. Yeah. You want a cookie? Damn. That's what you wanted to loop in? Go ahead, Mike.
No, all I was going to say was if General Hospital spent as much time writing for characters in stories that are currently happening rather than making up. There are two or three storylines where there's a whole backstory of all these people that are coming out of the woodwork, like Nell's a perfect example. This whole made-up story that she has, and then this woman comes over to terrorize her, and then Michael defends her, and then so there's that. Then there's Anna and Finn trying to make up this whole story about this other thing with Valentine. If they spent And then there's Jason with Betsy coming up with this whole big old story that never happened. And then, if they spent all this energy in writing for stuff that is happening now with people that are on screen now and creating a future and moving stuff forward, then I might have a little bit more interest in the show.
Bravo! Silly Mike. Silly Mike. That's why Shelly to do homework. Shelly is the one who don't like to do homework, honey.
Luke Kerr's favorite phrase here. To be fair, all Tale of Two Anybody stories are they're all ludicrous. There hasn't been a one. There have been those type of stories that I enjoyed, but they've all required extreme suspension of belief. Days of Our Lives wanted us to believe that Wayne Northrup with his Ogilvy home perm was, you know, I mean, they've all been ludicrous.
But Mike's point is, how many shows are trying to rewrite so many different stories?
Every time there's a tale or two, somebody's Luke. You know, when Ron did it on One Life to Live, and
the point is
they're all ludicrous. Ron brought back Vicki Lord's best friend, who was just like Jillian, wasn't the history of the show? Wasn't she just Vicky's homegirl in college that fucked her daddy? Then Ron brought her back to the damn head of the damn CIA and shit. I mean, it's always ludicrous. These stories are always ludicrous, is what I'm saying. And Shelley didn't. This is the thing where, again, this is a show. If Brad Bell was doing this, I would say we all need to be taking off our earrings and being like, what is going on? But this, Shelley got an assignment. Hey, we're bringing back Steve Burton. Figure it out. So, I mean, it's like
Goldberg
in Soap Dish when they were like, we're bringing back Kevin Kline. And so Whoopi is like, but we decapitated him. So. Yeah.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just agreeing with Mike's point in that he's got three of these rewrites going. If it was just the Return from the Dead doppelganger story, that would be totally fine. But the fact that there's these other ones that are also going, it just is a lot.
Now with Nell, that there's no need for that backstory. So yeah, I give you that. But with the Tale of Two Jasons, it was gonna have to be ludicrous. And yeah, we all, you know, I cringe when people start messing with history that is so important to long-term fans.
So right, rewrite of a rewrite.
The fact that Heather Weber, who around this same time, wasn't she having her own baby drama with Stephen Lars, had the time to deal with her baby drama with Franco, and now she has time to deal with her baby drama with Jason and Susan, and it just doesn't track well because Susan Moore was a gold digger. Well, hell, that this don't even make mathematical sense. Why she gonna hide one baby? If you a gold digger and you trying to get at that quarter main coin, I would have marched up in there with a double bassinet. Yeah, hey, Monica.
And yes, that's sir. Exactly what Heather would have done. She would have parlayed that into her back pocket as well.
It's by your husband, bitch. And I want my check. And I want the gatehouse. I mean,
Heather,
you know,
and Scotty were both conniving to get Jason's inheritance.
Yeah. But the thing of it is, it was going to be ludicrous. They had basically
that
planned.
Wasn't Heather, was it? I thought that was I thought that was Scotty and Susan right. conniving to get that.
Susan, didn't he? Or didn't he become Jason's stepfather for a minute?
Yeah, that was Scotty.
So, yeah,
Susan.
I mean, you were going to have to.
But after Susan died, I think they were trying to get custody of Jason so that they could have his inheritance.
Yeah, and the thing, well, I don't know the history of that, so y'all have to weigh in our comments. But it was going to be absurd anyway, and so they basically had two or three routes. Helena made me do it. Heather made me do it. You know, I mean, these were the routes they were going to have to go. I might have done something like, okay, let's find another villain from the Jasonverse to, you know, of course, for the baby stuff, though, Heather Weber was going to have to come into play because Liz Taylor wasn't thinking about them babies back in the day. So they were going to have to do Heather, you know. And
I would have done Manny Ruiz, if anything.
That's
what I
was thinking.
I would have done him because he was
Jerry Jack having the real Jason off being a
or you could bring back Lorenzo or the Alcazars.
Or Jason or someone, because it does kind of seem like all roads are going to lead back to Helena. And I mean, Helena and Heather Weber are pretty much the original and second sin of Port Charles now. And if you really think about it, Helena was more a Luke and Laura enemy, and Heather was more tied to, you know, Liz's
father.
It's like now they're all up in the Sonny and Jason orbit business. But all that being said, I like the way that they're juxtaposing the Patient Six story with really cementing Billy Miller's version of Jason and Sam. This is the thing that I hope they realize, because so many of these shows try to reignite lightning. Billy Miller and Kelly Monaco are a bona fide super couple on this show. They have amazing chemistry. You know, Maurice Bernard did this interview in Soap Opera Digest where he talks about, you know, the changes in Kelly and the changes in her acting. And a little of it made me kind of feel gross because it's like, you know.
What did he say?
It kind of felt like, well, now that she's in this storyline with me, I'm seeing all this new stuff with her. And I'm like, I mean, bruh. You ain't the actor whisperer. You know, she has been coming to life opposite Billy. They have created magic in this pairing. And I didn't even like Sam McCall. Y'all know how I felt about Sam McCall. But Sam and Jason as a couple and as a family are the closest thing to an old-fashioned super couple. And I hope they just don't throw that sexy baby out with the bathwater so that she can have chase love scenes with Steve Burton again.
Dude, I hope they do play the beats with the Sam and the two Jasons, because, I mean, to be fair, Kelly also had heat with Steve Burton, even though they just dry humped or whatever. You
yeah,
know,
they
just,
totally have
they, heat. They're going to have to go there.
But he doesn't like to do love scenes. So why take away a really sexy couple? Just let Steve be Sonny's henchman who goes around shooting at people, and he works in that role. He doesn't want to do love scenes on a soap opera. So, you know, I mean, you don't stick the sexiest woman in daytime with someone who doesn't want to do love scenes.
But they're gonna
like,
have
it, it just, I mean, no, they play. No, I'm not. You're missing my point. I am not saying, you know, they reveal on a Monday that Steve is Jason and Kelly is like, and Sam is like, sorry, boo. But I'm over here with this one. No, obviously they have to do the I'm torn. Who am I going to be with? Who do I love? Who do I love? But I'm hoping that it's like Marlena ended up with John at the end of the day. I hope that they keep the rooting factor and the rooting value between Billy's version of the character or whoever, you know, whoever's going to shake out to be who, and Kelly. Because, I mean, Steve does not like to do love scenes. Y'all saw that ridiculous damn scene with him and Sharon Case in the dark where, you know, Sharon Abbott might have lost the eye trying to screw in the dark in that damn overstuffed living room. You know, messing around and her eye hit a damn corner of a damn
shelf. That's one of my pet peeves where they let actors dictate shit.
I've heard that he will do this and that, but when he came to The Young and the Restless, I heard the same thing. He's gonna do love scenes. And they threw together that love scene with him and Missy Claire Egan to kind of show the blogosphere, see, he's gonna do love scenes. And then you could count the rest of his love scenes on one hand.
I hope this deal that Frank made to bring him back with his smart self, I hope Frank and his smartness and that sarcasm there was like, look, you're going to do love scenes here. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. If I say you're going to be in a Speedo, you're going to be in a Speedo. Like, I hope Frank did that because this is a soap opera. This is romance. This is, you know, a woman's genre. You know, I like me some shoot 'em up, but I also like me some petting and shit too. So they gonna
have
to
do the petting.
Okay.
He'll do the petting.
I mean, I need to see some skin now.
Jillian, in the pantheon of amazing...
If you're drinking all that healthy powdered stuff, you ought to want to show what it's doing for your booty. Show your booty. Show. Look here. Look.
You gotta show what the good old Monavie gives you.
It's not Monavie no more, child. It's like some powdered proteins and stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, show me. Look, show me what you're doing. Show me it's working out. Show me your booty.
Jillian, in the pantheon of... The Young and the Restless corporate storylines. Where does Jack versus Billy measure up for you this lately?
There you go again, Mr. SAT man. I could bust out my SAT scores on YouTube. Shit. I mean, they have to go there with this. I know Jamie does not like this, but I feel as though they're going to have to bring in the big dog in this, and that's Victor. Victor's been on the sideline. Too much brooding and shit. They gonna have to. Jack is messing with his baby girl now. You know Victor is like, you could do a lot of shit, but don't mess with Victoria. And he petting around. You know, when he sniffs around Nikki, you know, Victor is like, that's not gonna fly. Like, they gonna have to have him in there. Me personally, I would have the Jack versus Victor, and then it spills over to what you said, into the younger set, into the next generation. That's how I would kick it off.
Jamie, you're barely able to restrain yourself. What are your thoughts?
What they have to do is bring on a 40-year-old Victor Newman archetype. That's what they're going to have to do. Because Eric Braeden is 76 years on God's earth. He is already 77. If they... do not figure out. I'm just being real here. I remember, get your drinking glasses ready. Because when my Matt Corey went home to Soap Glory, it was a hole that could not be filled. Eric Braeden, 10 years older than him, Now, we can't keep letting all roads lead back to Eric Braden. Now, come on now. We're going to have to come up with a next generation because we've seen, I'm just not trying to be crass here, but you can't circle a whole soap around somebody who might end up going to the upper room. Look what happened with the new Dallas. Now, it's time to create a new Victor Newman. And I'm not saying get rid of the old one. I'm not saying
get rid of the old one. Wait, hold up. Who's that whispering? That's Luke. What you whispering?
If they can do it and do it right, fine. But I'm not trying to be having Victor. It was annoying to me 20 years ago when Cameron was messing with Sharon and Victor had to save her instead of Nick. They never let Nick drop his ball sack. So now we have his 50-year-old as, Dad, you stole my money, and I can't open my juke joints. You're a meanie. You kicked me out of the horse stable. And now my daughter, little orphan Annie, is going around singing, the sun'll come out when I get to go to the ranch tomorrow. I'm in Dolly Parton movies, so they think I should be in every scene. I'm the young and the restless. That's what we get. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Faith ruling a family and an evil, nasty old man stealing money and being evil and doppelganging. Can we get Brandon Barash as a 40-year-old badass? I'm tired of it.
Yes.
Yes. People,
I wouldn't even care if he was Adam.
No. I'm tired. No.
Old people doing old people shit all the time. I don't care who bones Nick and Newman. Nick and need to be Big Mama. I'm sorry. I don't want to get rid of them. I love them all. I grew up on them just like Jillian did. I adored them. I was glued to the tube when Nicky was messing around on Victor with Jack and Victor was with Ashley. But these people are all 60 to 80 years old and it's called The Young and the Restless and Noah's in a stupid black t-shirt going, oh, I'm so dumb I don't even know my girlfriend likes cat. But no one's trying to develop my character because who cares? I just work at a bar. And hi, I'm Abby, and I don't even know my...
You know what? Hold up. Okay.
Develop young people. Write a goddamn story.
Okay, now. All right. Now, baby. All right, now.
Everything cannot go back to Victor has to fix it.
No. Hold up. Okay, I have a solution for you. Now, this is where I said the younger sex can fall in there. That could kick off the younger sex. Now, with Victor's storyline, with Nick stealing the money, it would be kind of cool if he found out. Now, Noah has had amnesia now, and it's like, Dad, let Grandpa help us. If Nick is suspicious and thinks that this is Victor, I would love for Noah to be like, Dad, I'm going to prove you wrong. And you find out, Noah somehow finds out, and it makes Noah just jaded. Noah's like, it's bad enough you broke me and Marissa up. Like, you messing with my ducats now because I was the one that got that roped Dad into this. So, in a way, this is my fault. And you're taking it out on me. For your shenanigans, and for Noah to find out that it's Victor, and for Noah to not confront Victor, but for Victor to be like, you know, when he feels as though the money, you know, Kevin tells him the money's in his account, and he goes after Kevin, and Noah just shows up and be like, no, I took the money, and for him to be like, no, what did you think you heard, and for Noah to just rip into him. And for Noah to finally...
I feel what you're saying. You're trying to write your way out of a storyline that's really blah and not working, and I get that, and I commend you for that. I just could care less about this story. They've done nothing with Nick having this money, and now he's just snatched... Victor's been able to easily snatch $500 million. That is ludicrous, first of all. It's absurd, and there would be so many firewalls. I mean, hell, I have $50 in my bank account, and when the Target thing happened, my bank account put up so many damn firewalls when the Target hackers was coming after me to protect me. You mean Nick ain't got that on $500 million? I don't want to see this dumbass story. It's stupid. What needs to happen is when Nick finds out, and I hope it's next week, not no, because what you were just, you know, he needs to say to his daddy, bitch, you better put my motherfucking money back in my account, or I'm going over there and tell Paul Williams that you got Chloe's crazy ass up out of that jailhouse, and she killed your son, and I'm going to send your evil old ass back to prison for aiding and abetting the murder of Adam Newman. Now, you got 1 hour. You ain't got 24 hours. You got 1 hour to put my motherfucking money back in my account, you old evil bastard. Or I'm going to do that and I'm going to whoop your ass. Because, yeah, I know this is a soap opera and we make it like you can still whoop everybody's ass. But I'm 40 and you 76. And I'm going to make you take all your Beneva in just a minute because you don't play with me about my money. I'm finna beat your ass out here in this horse shed because this is stupid that this man still do all of this. These shenanigans. I cannot stand Victor right now, and not in the good way, not the love to hate J.R. Ewing way, or the way that I love to hate him when he snatched Jabo. He is just an insufferable eat the show character, just like Sonny Corinthos has become, and I'm tired of these same old cats ruling the roost on these show. As you mentioned earlier, Jillian, it's a genre aimed at women. So why are these old ass dudes, you know, just everywhere? Thank God for Days of Our Lives balancing women and men. And it's not just the Pat show over there or the Billy Flynn show, although some of his interviews.
Or the John show.
But you know, that it's more of an ensemble. It's like, come on. I'm tired of Victor stealing people's this and that. And you know, back in the day, he legally took over Jabo in a normal hostile takeover situation with Jack putting the company public. And that allowed him, like it happens in the real world. I'm sorry, but if Rupert Murdoch just decides to snatch up all of Lackland's money through an illegal hack, his old behind is going to prison. I'm tired of these far-fetched, absurd, ridiculous stories. Now Nick can't open his jukebox so that Tessa can go sing her low-rent Jewel and Alanis Morissette songs a decade and a half after they were in vogue across the country. No one cares. It's, you know, the whole, first of all, that whole business idea, like I had to put toothpicks under my eyeballs when Noah was presenting that. That's not sexy. That's not fun. That's not like Brash and Sassy back in the day or Tuvia or any of the other sexy, fun things.
Noah should be banging somebody to get that liquor license.
You know, this club is so cool. It's so awesome that we should.
Now, you're right about that, Mike. Noah should have been like, when Victor was like, when, you know, when Victor told him, I heard you need help, and you had Noah should have been like, nah, Grandpa, I got it under control. I was able to hammer it out, and then you see Noah flash back into hammering the fuck out of some broad down.
But I want to say this before we go to something else, because I do, as much as I'm ranting about these soaps, I have to cut them some amazing slack, because they do have to do this 52 weeks out of the year. And this is one thing I noticed about the new primetime soap season. Empire started off its new season with Lucius Lyon, you know, still, you know, dealing with amnesia, the oldest soap in the world.
Yeah,
and that show was only four seasons in, and they've run out of story ideas and have to resort to amnesia. Grey's Anatomy, I'm going to give them way more slack because they're on season, what, 13, 14?
14.
I can see how they might be running out of ideas. But on Empire, you got amnesia. On Grey's Anatomy, you got the tried and true couple gets together. A widow and a widower finally find their way to making it past the ones they've lost, and just as soon as they're committed and together, boom, one of their spouses returns from the dead. So the fact that, you know, primetime soap operas, which Shonda didn't even call hers a soap opera, are resorting to amnesia and returns from the dead as their A stories to launch for the fall season, you know, I mean, it makes me want to cut Shelly some slack because she has to churn out this stuff 52 weeks a year. And
I would suggest that there's more research done for both of those than there are on General Hospital.
Oh, they're freaking Tanikin is not. Did you watch Empire? That is as old as
I did. I thought that it was a very well done season
loop.
Premiere.
That is the oldest soap cliche in the world. Who am I? Where am I? Where? Who are you, chillins? I don't know y'all asses. That is the oldest soap trope on planet Earth. And so is the thing with old girl coming back. Yeah, they added the more layer of, oh, my belly got blown up. I got my belly hanging out. But everything else, Meredith falling in love with that cat and then being like, oh, I'm going to finally let you have some uchiku and not be guilty about it. Oh, baby girl, hey, I got to tell you something. No, Meredith told him, I just found out your wife alive. I mean, I know my cat is still on you. You smell like my cat right now, but your wife is alive. I got to go be with my wife. You know, that ain't no more research. See, sometimes we treat soaps like we try to act like primetime is always better. That's not true. No, there was no more research into any of that. That was some, I don't know what to do next season. So, amnesia.
Mike, you finally have another member of your anti-Victor club in Jamie. What did you think of the Jack versus Billy? And what did you think of Alice being back in the Tessa storyline?
Okay. The only thing that I liked about it was Cassie faking that she was Cassie. But I just can't imagine that this woman actually did not realize that somebody was sitting like a foot away from her. It just seemed a little odd that she thought she was talking to a ghost when Sharon and Tessa were sitting right there. But anyway, it's okay. I don't like the storyline because it's about Zach, who I don't care about. And Billy to me is just, I have a huge issue with Billy. I'm not going to lie. I've had issues with Billy for a very long time. And Victor, I did like Victor kind of going in and trying to help Victoria and just kind of being in the background to do his thing. And I like Nikki and Jack, but I only like them as friends. I don't really want them to hook together, but thank God
they're not hunching.
Thank
God
for Dina, because she is the only saving grace to me that is worth. She is must-see TV for me.
Not me. Why? Oh, God. You know, if they were going to do this, Graham is the son of the man Dina hoed
no
with.
That's no surprise, is it?
Didn't there have been some suspense? Remember when Kendall Hart debuted on All My Children? In front of Erica, she was butter wouldn't melt in my mouth. I'm your biggest fan, Miss Kane. I just think you're wonderful. And then she'd go off by herself in her bedroom at Myrtle's, and the music would get all sinister. Yes, Erica. I have something. And I'm not saying
it should have been some all about Eve type shit.
But there hasn't been any suspense or any threading, except Jack and Ashley spending 10 months. Jackie, is something going on with that man and Mama? Jackie,
these people are wealthy. She could just hire somebody to go take care of
him. Breaking into his room at the YMCA over and over again. We got to figure out what's going on with Mama and that man, Jackie. And, you know, with him, it's been no suspense. Gloria got in the sauna and tried to see his sweaty balls. That was about
it. I feel like they didn't know what to do. I feel like they just kind of meandered this along and decided we have to figure something out. That's what it feels like.
There was no suspense, no seeing him by himself sort of looking at Dina and having an ugly look on her, giving her the stank eye or anything like that. Just, oh, so the reason he been hanging around this woman is because he Brent Davis is. It just came out of nowhere, and this should have been a 3-month story.
All this time, this guy's been sitting in wait for years.
Hold up, though. Now, didn't Dina screw him? Like, and it was not like a lasting affair, her and the tennis player. She didn't run away with the tennis player, did she? No, right?
But his ass, no, she did not.
But the way how they're playing it with that old bitch in Shady Pines.
Yeah.
That's what she did with our fam. I'm like, didn't Dina just hunch him once? And then anything, Dina ruined her marriage.
Ended up dead. Didn't he end up dead behind some way? I got to go back and look, but I believe.
So, well, they made it.
They did a flashback where she pointed a gun at him, I think. Or she had a gun. So I'm wondering if they're going to go down this road that she killed him or something. I don't know if they're going to make something up. I have to look.
No, I don't think it's made up. I think there's history, like, I'm looking now.
But they're, I'm wondering if they're going to kind of piece
Dina
together.
Dina shot Brent but missed, and Kay was shot instead. Jack figured out what happened, and then he and his lover, Jill Foster, confronted Dina. Dina and John began a search for Ashley. Oh, yeah, that's when my Ashley started hunching on Victor. But yeah, she shot at him. But didn't something happen to Brent, though? Like, I'm trying to look. Just a second. I'm looking on the soap history sites because I think that they are trying to, like, tie it into something. But I don't. I'm looking now. Okay, let's see what happened.
The fact that they've been doing a couple of flashbacks of it makes me think they're going to fill in some gaps or something.
You and this magic TV now.
I'm sorry, that's what I got.
No. I also thought that Juliet wasn't pregnant.
I just wish it would have been threaded in the whole time. It's like, you know, we all this time wasted on this non-important character. You know, there's just been wasted. But you know, I feel like Sally did a lot to really restore the characterization. I mean, and now I'm repeating myself, but you know, she definitely made the Abbotts and the Newmans feel like themselves, and kudos to her for finally giving Devon and Neil their own business platform. She did a lot, but in terms of moving story forward, there's just a lot of lackadaisical, lack of energy type situations that are going on, and that was just the Dina Abbott story should have been beginning, middle, end, 3 months. Uh-huh. Dina should have hit town. They should have dealt with Ashley's ambivalence about reuniting with her, and you know, that should have been, you know, act one of the story, or hell, that should have been the teaser of the story. And then we start finding out that she has memory loss. Then, you know, they get suspicious about this manservant, and, you know, early in act one of this three-month story, we should have found out not that he was, but we should have seen that he had malintent for Dina. And then we have act two of the 3 month story, meaning the second month be the Abbotts racing against time to stop him from killing Dina or doing something that someone does when they seek revenge. We have to up stakes in daytime again. There, you know, it's just like the thing that happened with the little chimera. You know, they do these stories now, but then there's no real stakes. It should have been a race against time to stop him from murdering Dina for her money. Or maybe that he was drugging her to make it look like she had an Alzheimer's-like disease to get her money. And that when he got found out, the Abbotts had to stop him at a dramatic moment. And, you know,
and have it be Ashley that saves her mother, the one that
Ashley kills him before he can hurt Dina. 1, 2, 3 months. That's a Bill Bell type story. That I'm just saying that's what Bill Bell would have done. I mean, at the climax of his stories, Nina does, she pops David Kimball. You know, at the climax of the story, Sheila burns the house down with Trace, with Ashley, not Ashley, with Lauren and her mama in it. There's been none of that. There's been all these creepy crawlies just running around doing creepy crawly stuff. You know, that pervert over there bothering poor dumb Abigail is, you know, and all of these hookers that we don't care about, hookers with hearts of gold and no storylines. It's like these stories should have been 3 month arcs, you know, bada bing, bada boom. And, you know, it should have been some little girl from the canvas that got drawn into hooking, not these newbies. Why do I care about newbie hookers? I don't care about newbie hookers. And it should have been 3 month arcs. Each one of these stories could have been good if they had a solid beginning, middle, end. You know, Cricket Blair tells, you know, Eldebard Scotty that there are hookers.
Stop calling him that.
And, you know, Eldebard Scotty. No. He got a Jerry curl, so he Eldebard to me.
No, you know? No.
Thought it was Yanni.
You know, Yanni
calling him Yanni.
Okay.
Every time I see him, I want to go. Gonna be to the rhythm of the night.
Jillian, you get the final word.
The story should have been 3 month arcs, though, is what
I'm
saying.
I swear that Dina killed this man, that Dina killed Brent, Brent was actually dying, and he was Catherine's man. He was Catherine's man when he came to town. And that's when when she tried to shoot him, she actually shot Kay. On his deathbed, he was ill. So it sounded like he was ill, and that's when Ashley forgave him and all that jazz for her parentage. So Dina didn't kill this man. She didn't do nothing to this man. And from based on the history, this man was shacking up with Catherine, the one who this man should be going after.
He slept with both of them. Yeah,
I don't understand.
He was a gigolo at the country club.
I'm like, well, I don't understand why they are mad at the Abbott when this man was screwing Kay when he died. I'm like, why y'all mad at her?
Well, he didn't have to be mad at her. A perfect story could have been, he wanted her money. He wanted the Mergeron money, as opposed to all of this who shot John and who captured the flag, you know. And I love history, but it has to be utilized. Like Alice coming back running hoes. It's like, I mean, and again, if this had been little Maddie, if little Maddie had found out that Daddy was hunching on the Asian persuasion chick and, you know, had gotten her knocked up, and little Maddie was like, I'm so mad at everybody, I'm just going to go out by myself. And then, you know, Alice pulled up in a Cadillac and said, hey, little girl, you want to come and get in my Cadillac and I'm going to be your friend. Okay, woman. You know, and then she gets in there. She's like, I got a way you can really feel better about yourself. You do? And then she get lured into hooking like they tend to do. Or, you know, how it really happens a lot of the time. The little girls try to go because they want to be models or actors. And then they answer these casting calls.
Boom, an Instagram model. She wants to be like Lily, and she's just like, Mom, you know, the little girl already thinks she know everything. If she was like, Instagram is the way to go, Mom. You get your social media followers up. If someone had an ad on, you know, InstaSnap, they call it InstaSnap or something on, you know, on YNR, and someone is like, yeah, I can make you hot. I can make you a model.
Find
out they running halls instead
of would have been so smart. And that's how it actually happens nowadays. Somebody's like, ooh, I discovered you on Instagram. And Lily has been like, no, you're not old enough, Maddie. There's just so many horrible things that can happen. And, I, you know, when you get older and we can discuss this, but right now I want you to focus on your studies. But woman, wouldn't it be a model? Wouldn't it be a model? And then she's doing it anyway on the Instagram. And she gets lured into this by Abby's Peter Poindexter boyfriend and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, but this has just been all around about Joe's house with this day player girl. What is her name? Cookie? What is Tessa's sister name? I don't even know her name.
Crystal.
And then somebody, one of the fans going to argue with me on Twitter. You know, they get on my nerves some days. I love some of y'all, but some of y'all be getting on my nerves.
What happened?
Because I was talking about, this is not like Nina's debut story. Well, someone was like, well, Nina was not a Nina when she first showed up. You a lie. You're not going to look me straight in the face or on the Twitter and tell me that this girl remind you of young Trisha Cash. You a lie, and the truth ain't in you, and you are you being used as an instrument of the soap devil, because Trisha Cash was fire from Jump Street. Now, Laura Lee took a little time to learn how to act. But Trisha Chakwanisha Cass came on that show like, I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm here to stay. And
hear,
you know, that
roar.
Little girl, Crystal, Keisha, whatever her name is just...
She didn't even had a barn yet. She didn't even had a gun
Blinking ass sister Tessa. I want Mariah to hurry up and give her an orgasm so she can quit blinking so much in her scenes. She just be blinking. I gotta find my sister because I didn't do right by her. And I'm gonna give you this long monologue. And I know y'all don't know me and y'all don't care nothing about our family and our history, but I'm gonna make y'all care. I'm gonna tell you all of my family history and how I wasn't there for Crystal. We don't care about you and Crystal, though. We don't care about you and Crystal. There are 40 characters on this show. I don't get to see Lauren Fenmore do nothing but dance in her living room with Michael Baldwin. So do you really think I want to hear you talking, Tessa, about you and not taking care of your hooker daughter or sister? I don't care about you people. Who are you people? I don't know y'all, like Sophia said when she came home on The Color Purple. I don't care about you or your sister or that dude that's dating Abby with that weird haircut. And I don't care about Scotty. And he's core. And you all are dominating this story. And I don't care about none of y'all. Back in the day, it was Cricket Blair who saved everybody from the social issues. Now Sharon is like, well, we got to try to figure out how to make Sharon less batshit crazy. So we're going to make her go to the help center and she going to decide that she going to save all the hookers on planet Earth. How about Sharon just decide to go make somebody a latte at the damn Crimson Lights and have a cute boyfriend and just be normal again? She don't have to save hookers for me to like Sharon. I like Sharon, preferably with Nick. You know, it's like it's just all these puzzle pieces that you're like, why is Nick, you know, all this, you, they don't have any story really for Nick and Chelsea, but they have two huge secrets between them that he knows his father aided and abetted in Chloe murdering Adam. And she knows that that baby he raising, if he ever stumbles into Mari Povich, he gonna have a rude awakening. Why are those secrets not being exploded so that we can have a real jeopardy between Nick and Chelsea so that they can bust up and he turn to Sharon and she fuck his son Noah? Come on, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. I'm sorry. It's not that hard. You just blow them up. Nicholas, I can't believe you knew that Chloe, that Victor helped Chloe get out of jail and Adam is dead and you didn't do anything about it. I hate you. And he's like, you knew that. What's that kid's name? Connor?
Christian.
Christian. Geppetto is not my real son. Pinocchio is not real. He's not boy, and he's not my real son. How'd you do me like that, Chelsea? Well, obviously you and I can't be honest with each other, so I'm going to break up with you, and I'm going to go run my Fredericks of Hollywood business by myself. It's over! And then they break up. And then
and I'm going to make you and your daughter homeless. Get the hell out of my townhouse.
Then Sharon is like, you guys can come back home with me. And then they can make love and flash back to all of their moments. And Nick and Sharon can get back together. And then Chelsea, because there's nowhere else to hang out in Genoa City, can go nurse her wounds at Shooters. And then Noah's like, hey, you want to get back and mix some drinks for old times? Like, I don't want to talk to you. Your father just lied to me. Well, I'm not my father. I'm younger. So that means, like, I don't even need Viagra, right? Okay, let's screw in your office. And then it's like Noah's dating his dad's ex, and Sharon's like, I don't think you should be together with her. What? You don't want me with Noah? What? Doom, 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 doom.
On that note.
Come on. There's no story. There's these people running around. I'm just waiting for Nikki to have a new concerto. Twinkle.
Oh, no.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. You can find Jamie at Jamie_Gittins on Twitter. Jillian is at Jillian Bow. Mike is at MPJ64. And I'm at 24.
I
don't know what the 64 is.
Chelsea 2.0 clothing.
And you can find me at Luke_Kerr. We thank you for listening. Until next time.
He likes ascots and duck.